Okay, let's unpack this. I was reading through the source material for today, and I came across this statistic that honestly just made me stop. We talk a lot about the attention economy, right?
All the time.
But the sources suggest we've hit this new phase, content saturation. And here's the kicker. The barrier to growth isn't distribution anymore. Platforms like Google, YouTube, Spotify, they're infinite.
Exactly. Infinite shelf space. You can upload as much as you want. There's no one telling you no.
Right, but that's the trap.
Yeah.
Because the barrier isn't the shelf space. It's the production capacity. It's the, you know, the actual human effort it takes to fill that infinite shelf space with something good. And that is where today's deep dive gets really, really interesting, because we're looking at a case study that just illustrates this perfectly.
It's a fascinating case. We're talking about Ericsson Technologies.
Ericsson Technologies.
Yeah.
Now, on the surface, they're a massive player in utility software.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking over 10 million Windows users, almost 7.5 million on macOS. They are huge.
Huge. But the portfolio is where it gets complicated.
Well, it's intense.
It's incredibly dense.
Yeah, they don't just have one big app. They have over 100 tools, and they are super niche. Things like OST to PST converter,
right.
Office 365 backup, virtual disk recovery.
Very specific, very technical problems. And that is exactly where the production bottleneck just slams into a brick wall. If you're Ericsson, how do you market 100 different products? You'd need a team writing blogs, shooting videos, making posts for each one.
Which would bankrupt you.
It's impossible. You can't hire a video team to make some slick trailer for an Access database recovery tool. The margins just aren't there.
So what happens? They just do nothing. Let them sit there.
That's what usually happens. They get a static text page and you just hope someone stumbles on it.
But silence isn't an option anymore. If you're silent, you're invisible. And this is where our other piece of source material comes in.
Mm.
The Auto Content API. Now, I want to be clear, because I was skeptical at first. This isn't just another chatbot.
No, not at all.
The documentation calls it an industrial engine or programmable content infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. And that distinction is vital. A chatbot is an assistant you talk to. This is infrastructure. It's designed to decouple content creation from human time. The mission for this deep dive is to see how a company like Ericsson can use this to take, 100 dry technical manuals and turn them into a multimedia empire.
Without hiring 1,000 people. It's the shift from manual labor to automation, but for creativity. So let's start with the first big problem for Ericsson, the explainer video.
Right. Think about their products. If you're searching for SQL database recovery, you are probably panicking.
Oh, absolutely.
You don't want to read a wall of text. You want to see how it works. You need that reassurance.
You want a video that says, hey, click here, then here, and it's all okay. But here's the gap. The sources say a manual video costs anywhere from, what, $50 to $300?
Mm.
And a pro one can hit $3,000.
For one video. Multiply that by 100-plus products. It's economically unviable. But with the Auto Content API, they have this endpoint called Explainer Video.
Okay, this is the part that sounded a bit too good to be true. So instead of a whole camera crew, Ericsson just takes the URL of their documentation, feeds it into the API, and then what happens?
The API reads the page, but it doesn't just summarize. It actually pulls the H2 and H3 headers to understand the step-by-step flow. It finds keywords like corrupt disk and matches them to stock footage. Then it generates a 60 to 90 second video with an AI avatar presenting the solution.
Okay, hold on. We've all seen AI videos. They can look uncanny. Weird blinking, the mouth doesn't match the words. If I'm trying to save my business's data and I see a glitchy avatar, I'm gone.
That's the billion-dollar question, isn't it? And according to the specs, yeah, they look good. They use cinematic avatars with proper lip-syncing and auto-generated subtitles. It even adds Ericsson's logo. The goal is something that's 90% as good as a human, but at, 1% of the cost.
But let's talk about why it even matters. It's not just about having a moving picture. There's an SEO metric here that really stood out. Embedding a video makes a page 53 times more likely to rank on page one of Google.
That's the power of dwell time. Google sees people sticking around to watch a minute-long video instead of bouncing off a wall of text, and that signals quality. So by crawling every feature page and making a video for all 100 products overnight, Ericsson is basically upgrading the SEO value of their entire website.
And the cost differences. I mean, what are we looking at with the API?
The source material breaks it down to credits. A short video is about 400 credits, which on their business plan is about €4.
€4 versus hundreds.
Exactly. This is cost arbitrage. It suddenly makes sense to make a high-quality video for your most boring niche long-tail tool. You can't justify a $300 video for a freeware PDF splitter, but you can absolutely justify a 4 euro one.
That leads us perfectly into the next part of this. You mentioned long-tail. The sources talk a lot about programmatic SEO. For anyone who isn't an SEO wizard, that's basically trying to rank for thousands of really specific search terms, right?
Right. Arison wants to show up for things like, how do I migrate Office 365? Or how to recover a PDF password? How to back up Yahoo Mail? Thousands of variations.
But there's a trap there, isn't there? I've seen sites try this, and they just copy the same page 1,000 times and change one word. That's thin content. Google hates that.
Google despises it. They'll penalize you for spam. To rank for all those terms today, you need unique, valuable content on every single page.
So how does the API solve that? Because writing 1,000 unique guides sounds like a complete nightmare.
It solves it with a multimedia fix. It's not just text. For every single problem, Arison can generate a high-density mixed media page. Let's break down what one of those pages actually looks like.
Okay, walk me through it. I search for how to recover corrupt SQL database 2019. I land on Arison's page. What am I seeing?
First thing, at the top, you see a unique guide written by the Deep Research API. This isn't just generic fluff. The API has scanned the web for error codes specific to SQL 2019 and written a guide based on that.
Okay, so I've got the text for the reader.
Second, embedded right there is the explainer video we just talked about that gets the visual learners. But then, and this is the real differentiator, there's an audio player. The podcast API generated a discussion between two AI hosts about that exact beta loss scenario.
And finally.
Finally, a vertical short video for mobile users. So Google sees this page and it sees text, video, audio, images. It sees people engaging. That signals high authority, not spam.
So the user can read, listen, or watch.
Exactly. And because the API is doing this programmatically, Arison can target keywords their competitors ignore. A competitor might think, it's not worth making a page for a corrupt SQL 2019 recovery, only 50 people search for that a month. But for Arison, the effort is basically zero. They just run the script.
It's incredible. You're flooding the zone with quality, not just quantity. I want to circle back to the audio part, the podcast API.
Mm-hmm.
Audio is having such a moment right now.
It is. You see the whole notebook LM trend, people getting audio summaries of their documents. It's cool, but those tools are for consumers. You have to manually upload stuff. Auto Content API is positioned as the enterprise-grade version of that.
And applying this to Arison, their topics are, let's be honest, pretty dry. Arison email migration software is not exactly a page-turner.
Have you ever tried to read a migration manual? It's like reading a dictionary while your house is on fire. You're stressed, your boss is on your back, and the text is just dense.
That is a terrifyingly accurate description.
Right. So audio just changes how you consume it. If you're an IT admin trying to plan a migration, do you want to read a 50-page PDF after staring at a screen all day? Or listen to a lively two-person conversation about it on your drive home?
I'm taking the drive time listen every single time. But again, I have to be the skeptic. If it sounds like Siri reading a textbook, nobody's listening.
And that's where the multi-speaker dynamics come in. The API doesn't just read the text. It generates a conversation like a little radio show between a host and an expert AI. It adds pauses, intonation. It turns a lecture into a dialogue.
And the sources mention an interesting internal use for this, too. It's not just for customers.
That's a crucial point. Arison has a support team, a helpline. Those people need to know the ins and outs of 100-plus products. That's a huge knowledge silo problem.
Yeah, how do you train a new hire on all that? You just throw manuals at them.
Exactly. But the sources suggest Arison's own team can listen to these audio summaries to get up to speed. It turns training into something they can do passively. Instead of read this memo, it's listen to this 10-minute update.
That makes so much sense. But the voice quality again. Nothing kills trust faster than a robotic voice, especially when you're dealing with my company's lost data.
Trust is everything in data recovery, and the sources really emphasize the voice cloning and natural, steady, believable quality. We're past that jagged robotic speech era. These voices have pacing, emotion, they sound authoritative, which is essential for Arison.
Now we've talked tech, but let's talk market.
Yeah.
Arison is global. But their content, their manuals, their blogs,
yeah,
it's all very English focused.
That's a classic bottleneck. You have a global product, but local content. You've got customers in Brazil or Germany. But if your tutorial is only in English, you're losing them.
And the API has a fix for that.
It does. The AutoContent API supports over 50 languages. This is the global expansion on Autopilot Play.
So walk me through it. Is it just running stuff through Google Translate? Because we all know how badly that can...
No, it's more sophisticated. Ericsson can set up a workflow, so every time they publish an English tutorial, the API triggers. It transcribes the content, translates it, and then resynthesizes it into Spanish, German, Hindi, Chinese.
Including the audio.
Including the audio and the video subtitles. And it does what they call transcreation, so it adapts for cultural context. It doesn't just sound like a literal robotic translation.
That's wild. So you publish once in English, and minutes later, you have native language assets live in Madrid, Berlin, and Mumbai.
Exactly. You're multiplying your total addressable market, your TAM, without hiring a single local content manager. You suddenly show up in search results in places you never had the budget for.
That makes me think of something else in the outline. Ericsson clearly wants to move upmarket, right? They have enterprise licenses.
Yeah.
To do that, you need authority. You need to be seen as an expert.
That's the shift from we sell tools to we understand data safety. And that's where the deep research engine comes into play.
And this is more than just rewriting text.
Oh, much more. The deep research endpoint uses agents to browse the live web. It reads reputable sources, SEC filings, tech news. It doesn't just make stuff up. It cites its sources.
So how does Ericsson use this? They're not selling legal advice.
Imagine they set up a recurring task. Scan for new data privacy regulations in the EU. The API runs that every week. It finds the new laws, analyzes them, and generates a briefing document.
Or even a podcast episode summarizing it for their clients.
Exactly. They send that to their enterprise customers. Hey, here's the new EU regulation, and here's how our backup tool helps you comply. Suddenly, Ericsson isn't just a vendor, they're a partner. That's how you land the big B2B contracts.
It's proactive instead of reactive.
Yeah.
Although, speaking of reactive, there's one scenario where being reactive is actually the whole game. The sources call it newsjacking.
Yes. In the data world, disasters happen fast. A huge cloud service goes down, a new ransomware strain hits.
Right. And everyone starts panic Googling Outlook down or ransomware fix.
Precisely. And in that moment, speed is everything. If you wait 3 days to make a video about it, the crisis is over. You've missed all that traffic.
So how does the API handle this? The outline mentions a reaction loop using make.com.
Yeah, make.com is like the digital glue that connects different apps. Ericsson can use it to build a fully automated reaction machine.
Okay, so walk us through the loop. A disaster happens, then what?
Step one, social listening. An integration with X or Reddit detects a huge spike in complaints about, say, an email provider crashing.
The alarm bells ring. But wait, does it just start posting automatically? Because that sounds dangerous. What if the AI hallucinates or says the wrong thing during a crisis?
A valid fear, but there are safety layers. Step two is the deep research API triggers. It doesn't guess. It goes out and analyzes why it's crashing by reading technical news sites. It verifies the outage.
Okay, so it confirms the facts first. Good. Step three.
Production. The API generates a market alert video short. It explains the crash, cites the reason it found, and then, crucially, offers Ericsson's backup tool as the preventative solution.
And how fast are we talking?
Minutes. While competitors are still calling a meeting to figure out what to post, Ericsson's video is already on TikTok and YouTube, capturing that wave of panic.
That is just ruthless efficiency. I love it, but it also feels a little scary.
It is the definition of agility. And in a saturated market, agility wins.
So let's zoom out. We've looked at video, audio, SEO, global reach. When you put it all together, Ericsson transforms from a company with a production bottleneck into what the source material calls an automated enterprise.
That's the core takeaway. They move from a linear model, one person makes one asset, to a parallel model. One input, like a manual or URL, creates many, many assets.
And the economics.
Yeah.
We keep coming back to that. The difference between hundreds of dollars and a few cents.
It creates a margin for experimentation. When your cost is that low, you can afford to be everywhere. Google searches, Spotify playlists, YouTube shorts. You're just flooding the market with high quality content.
It really feels like we're looking at the future of how business is done. It's not about working harder. It's about building a better machine.
Absolutely. And if I can lead you with one final thought, think about Ericsson, a technical utility company. They sell software for recovering corrupt databases. If they can turn dry, stress-inducing manuals into engaging multi-language, multimedia on autopilot, what excuse does any other business have for being silent?
Ooh, that's good. That hits hard.
In the age of AI, being silent or having boring content, that's a choice. It's not a constraint of time or money anymore. It is simply a choice.
Wow. Silence is a choice. I think that's the perfect place to leave it. Thank you so much for breaking all this down.
My pleasure.
And for everyone listening, we'll have links to the sources in the show notes. We will catch you on the next deep dive.